Good morning, Elise.
Good morning. How are you today?
Not too bad. Now, what is the Australian Medical Students Associate currently doing to promote the interest of medical students?
What we've found year after year is that there's a bit of a challenge for governments to figure out exactly how many internships they need and whether they're getting quite enough, because the current internship system holds that some internships are administered through states and some are done nationally. So what we try to do is make sure that we talk to the state governments, we talk to the federal governments, and make sure that between those two programs, we're going to get enough internships to cover everyone. Unfortunately, what we saw at the end of 2015 is we had about 40 students who missed out entirely and didn't get an internship under either of the programs.
Right. And so what does that mean for, like, you know, if they can't get an internship, does it mean their career is pretty much screwed?
It's really complex, to be honest with you, because these people graduate through the Australian healthcare system and then they've got a decision. Do they try to go overseas, try to work as a doctor there? Do they stay here and keep trying for an internship, knowing that they just might not be able to work as a doctor and then their 4, 5, 6 years of training is wasted? It's a really difficult decision for them. We really want to make sure that these people who are trained to work in a healthcare system are able to give back to it, especially when they want to, when they want to stay here and they want to give back to the population they've trained with.
And what were some of the reasons why these graduates weren't offered an internship?
It's not to do with the specific application so much as the system overall. So we've got a great program administered by the federal government called the Commonwealth Medical Internships Program, and that gives us 100 spots for people nationally. And then we've got the states covering all of the domestic students. Unfortunately, there's just a gap between those things. So one of the potential solutions is to extend the CMI program so that we have enough internship spots for everyone. And that means that we can put more doctors in non-traditional settings and specifically rural and regional areas where we really need them.
Yeah. So how do the numbers actually add up? Because, like, you know, we're seeing a greater intake of international students all the time. Mm. So how do you kind of, like, space it all out between both local and international students?
Mm. So the current system is that all of the states have an agreement through the Council of Australian Governments to ensure they give all domestic students an internship. We do worry at times that we see student numbers rising and we don't see a commensurate increase in internships, that there is going to be an issue with domestic students. But currently, the real issue that we've had is with the international graduates, and that's what the CMI program is aimed at resolving. It's done a really great job of that up until this year. Up until now, that program was never quite full. There were always a few spots left over. But this is the first time that all 100 spots were filled in 2015, and there were these 40 remaining that just couldn't get a job anywhere.
Mm. And so with rural students, you know, as you mentioned, the rural areas, they do need medical professionals all the time. So are they missing out, or is it just everyone? Is it pretty equal, like whoever misses out, they're both in the city and in rural areas?
The students that are missing out are across the board, but in terms of the general public that are most affected, it's going to be people in regional and rural areas, because we then see an issue, you know, 5, 10 years down the training pipeline, where we just don't have enough doctors out in rural and regional settings, because we don't have enough doctors in Australia, because we haven't trained them at the earlier stages when we had the opportunity. And a great way to solve that is to put more internships in rural and regional areas and then to provide more specialist training places in rural and regional areas, that these people can train in medical school rurally, they can stay rurally throughout their internship and training, and then they have the option to settle there and stay with the community long term.
Do you find that they tend to stay in the communities long term if they do have the training?
There's good evidence that if you have a placement of at least a year in a rural setting and that gives you a positive experience, you're much more likely to then go back and be more interested in working there long term. So that's what we want to see, more investment in seeing people there, long-term placements that goes far beyond medical school and into specialist training, so they're able to consistently stay in rural and regional areas.
Now, the AMSA, you guys do not support a rural university. So how does that all work and why do you guys take that stance?
Could you repeat the question? Sorry, I just missed the first
Yeah,
part.
Yeah. So the AMSA, it doesn't support a rural university. Am I correct in saying that? Or you do?
So there are often specific proposals to build new universities in rural areas. What we would say is we've got infrastructure for a lot of universities already. Let's expand the clinical schools that they already have, and let's make sure that those rural students that are already being trained rurally then have opportunities to go into specialist training. In my university, for example, we have a quarter of us that have the opportunity to go for a year-long placement rurally, which is fantastic and people love it. But if they then graduate and we're not putting money where we really need it into the training pipeline, it all goes to waste. So we'd really like to see the most strategic use of money, and the most strategic way to do that is to fund these training positions once they've graduated.
Mm. And with international students, so why do they tend to study here when they're least likely to be offered an internship here?
People often don't really know what the reality is going to be when they start medicine. Even myself, studying as a domestic student, I didn't have a lot of information about internship when I started. I didn't know you needed an internship for general registration. You tend to think what everyone else in the general public thinks, that you graduate and you're a doctor, and it's as simple as that. And often international students have a fairly similar problem. They don't really recognise the quite real risk that they might not get a job here. They think, I'm going to go there, I'm going to have a great education in Australia, and I'm going to really invest in that. And a lot of them hope to stay and hope to give back to the healthcare system they've trained in. And then they get partway through their training and realise that, you know, there's a problem, and that's one that we're trying to solve.
Yeah. Now, there's always that conversation where it's like, you know, there's a lack of medical professionals. We need more. Doesn't seem to be jobs, though. So how do you promote job mobility?
So an issue that we have currently in terms of the medical workforce is that we've got enough people training as students now. We've doubled those numbers in the last decade or so. But then we have the issue that as we go on, we get up to the really high levels, and then we've got doctors on the skilled occupation list so that we can bring them into the country. So really what we want to do is make sure that people have opportunities at all levels of their degree and all levels of their training, not just to continue their training, but to make sure they can do it in these non-traditional settings or these districts of workforce shortage wherever they're able to.